Let's go to the Word of God, John chapter 1, starting in verse 16. I'll be reading from the Amplified Version. For out of his fullness, speaking of Jesus, the superabundance of his grace and truth, we have all received grace upon grace, spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift. For the law was given through Moses, but grace, the unearned, undeserved favor of God and truth came through Jesus Christ. Tonight I want to speak to you on the subject of the grip and the give of grace. The grip and the give of grace. And you know, if you've been here for our series on grace, we based the series on three principles. We said that grace does for all of us. Three things that grace does. The first thing that grace does is grace saves us. In Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says that God saved you by his grace when you believe. But grace did not stop there. Grace does not just save us. Grace also sustains us. Grace gives us, we have grace for the race. Amen. It's that the grace doesn't just put us on the pathway. Grace keeps us on the pathway. The third thing that grace does for us all is grace supernaturally strengthens us. It supernaturally strengthens us. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 says, God causes all grace to abound to you so that you might abound in every good work. God gives you all grace so that you can flourish and fulfill all the good works that he has put in front of you. And last week we looked at this powerful scripture out of 2 Peter that says, may God give you more and more grace. One translation says, may grace be multiplied to you as you grow in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus. I love that because that lets me know that I don't have to be stuck with the level of grace that I'm in right now. I don't have to live where I'm living right now. That grace can be multiplied. I can experience more and more grace. Grace upon grace. Grace stacked on top of grace. Grace in front of grace and grace behind grace. Grace to the left of grace. Grace to the right of grace. I get to live in a multiplication of grace in my life. And we have defined grace as this. In this series, we've said that grace is the unmeasurable love, the unmerited favor, the unlimited power of God that enables me to live life God's way. And so whenever you think about grace upon grace, you're thinking about love on top of love. You're thinking about favor on top of favor. You're talking about blessing on top of blessing, power on top of power. And so that excites me tonight that I know that the grace of God in my life can actually grow. It can expand. It can multiply. And God can take me to new places and new levels of grace in my life. And so I want to just share a story with you tonight out of Luke chapter 5. We're going to draw some truths of grace out of this story, and I believe that it will be a blessing to you in your life. The story goes like this in Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 1. It says, one day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word. Come on, are you ready to press in to listen to the word? Are you ready to lean into the word tonight? Because I believe that God has a word for us. It says, he noticed two empty boats at the water's edge. For the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. And this time, their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, oh Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man. For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. Every time I read a story in the Bible that has to do with fishermen or fish, I always think about my one fishing experience. And I do mean one fishing experience. It was just a few years ago, and somebody took me fishing, and I was so excited for this very first opportunity to catch a fish. And I remember as I threw my bait out there in the water, and I was just waiting to feel the tug on the line so I could reel in my first fish, or I guess it's reel it in. I don't know if it's wheel or reel. I'm not a fisherman, like I said. And so I'm waiting, and all of a sudden, I feel a tug on the end of the line, and I start reeling that fish in. I'm so excited. I get that fish up, and I finally reel it all the way in, pull it up out of the water, and there that fish is just a flapping on the end of the line. And I looked at the guy that brought me fishing, and I said, "What do I do now?" And he said, "You reach up, you grab it, and you take it off the hook." And I said, "No, I don't." And I put it back in the water. I shook that hook off. I said, "Bless you, fishy. Be free in Jesus' name. Live a long, prosperous life." I had one fishing experience, but these people that we're talking about today, they weren't fishing for recreation. They were not fishing for fun. It was their livelihood. They were professional fishermen. It is what they did for a living. And out of this story, we're going to take four truths about grace. The first thing that we see about grace is we see the message of grace. We see the message of grace. And you need to know, this is not the first time that these men had encountered Jesus. They had walked with Jesus before. They had heard Jesus teach about grace before. They were there when Jesus turned the water into wine. They had a loose association with Jesus. They were not a member of the 12 disciples yet at this time, but they knew Jesus. They were acquainted with Jesus, and they had been associated with him to a level. They had heard the message of grace that came from the man of grace, because the Bible tells us in John chapter 1 that Jesus came full of grace and truth, and it was out of that fullness of grace that we have received grace upon grace in our lives. And we see here as he steps out into Simon Peter's boat, and he asks him to push him out into the water a little bit because the crowds were beginning to crowd around and push him down. And so he was able to push out into the water so that he could speak to the masses, so that he could teach the people. After he teaches the people, then he turns his attention towards the boat's owner. He turns his attention and begins to speak towards Simon Peter. And I always think it's so interesting how today hundreds of people have sat in here and been a part of one of our three services, and they have heard the message. The message has gone out to the crowd. But it's always so interesting to me is that whenever people are leaving and I'm standing there at the door and people say, "Wow, that message was just for me." And then three people later, they say, "Wow, that message was just for me." And two people later, they say, "Wow, Pat, that message was just for me." And I'm like, y'all need to get together out there in the parking lot and figure out who this message was for, because it must be for more. But you know, it's amazing what Jesus can do. Even though he's speaking to the crowd, he can speak directly to you. And after teaching the crowd here, Jesus then gets in a very individual manner, and he begins to speak to Simon Peter, and he says this to him. He says, "Now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." You see, this is the picture of grace. Jesus desiring to give Simon Peter what he has been searching for all night long. This is the picture of grace. Jesus wanting to give Simon Peter that thing that he has been searching for and trying to find but had not been able to lay hold of. This is the picture of grace for us all, because it's the thing that we've all been looking for. We've all been looking for love. We've all been looking for acceptance. We've all been looking for meaning and fulfillment. We've all been looking for purpose and peace and joy. We've all been looking for all of these things, but we always come up empty. And Jesus is saying, here is the message of grace, is that I have something to offer you that you cannot find anywhere else. I have something to give you that you will not find anywhere else. You see, that is the picture of grace. And many times our response to the message of grace is the same as Simon Peter's response, and it comes out as an excuse. It sounds too good to be true. It sounds like we don't qualify for such an amazing, wonderful thing as God's grace. And surely God doesn't understand what he's offering us. And surely God doesn't understand who he is offering it to. And Peter's response to Jesus' offer to catch some fish is to say, but we worked hard all night long. We were laboring and we were toiling. We dropped the nets down and we picked them back up again. We were working hard. I was out there wasting time. I was out there fishing and I did not catch a thing. That was his excuse, but our excuse sounds a lot like this. But I've done so many wrong things, and I've said so many things that I regret, and I've been so many places that I'm so sorry I went to, and it seems impossible for me to obtain what you are talking about. And we give God the excuse, but the key to getting to the next phase of grace is found in his next phrase to the man of grace. And he says, I've been out there all night long. I've been toiling and I've been working and I didn't catch a thing. But because you say so, I will let the nets down again. I don't really feel like it right now because I'm frustrated and disappointed. I don't really understand what you're saying right now because you are a carpenter, I'm a fisherman, and at this time you don't go out into the deep water to catch the fish. I'm a little upset. I don't understand what's happening. I'm a little frustrated, but I will do this. I will take you at your word right now, and I'm going to give it a try because honestly, I don't have anything else to lose right now. I don't have one fish to take to the market. I don't have one thing to sell. I can't make a dollar right now. And so you tell me, go out there and drop the nets, I will do it. You see, that is the message of grace. And sometimes all we need to do is just to lean into the message of grace. It doesn't make sense and we don't understand it, but we say, I will take you at your word. I don't feel like I deserve it. I don't feel like I qualify for it, but I'm going to take you at your word and I'm just going to lean into the message of grace. I'm going to take one step more than I have ever taken in my life. And I believe that as I take that step, I will find what you are telling me to be true. It's the message of grace. You see, whenever you move into the message of grace, you move into that next phase. And here's the second thing that we find in the story. We find the miracle of grace. The miracle of grace. There's the message of grace, and then we move to the miracle of grace. In verse 6, it says, and at this time, their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. You see, now it went from a message to a miracle. This is the moment when it moves from potential and it gets personal. It moves from this is no longer just for the person sitting on your left or the person sitting on your right. Now you're having to deal with this because it's in your boat. Now the fish were in his net. Now it wasn't potential of catching fish. Now he's already got the fish, and what am I going to do with this grace? Now he has seen the miracle. He's laid hands on the miracle. The miracle is staring him in the eye. He is nose to nose and face to face with the miracle. He couldn't question the message anymore. He couldn't doubt the message anymore because now he's holding the miracle in his hands. It's when it gets personal. It gets personal. And here we see Simon Peter as he's got a tight grip on the net. And the nets are beginning to rip because there's so many fish in there. And he's got a grip on the net. And he begins to holler out to other people, come help. Hey, get another boat over here. We got too many fish. And the net's ripping. And he's trying to hold on everything that he's got. And as he is gripping tightly to the net, I believe that he realized it wasn't just him that had a grip on the net. It's grace that had a grip on him. When he realized what had happened, when he understood, when he connected all the dots to what Jesus had said, and now here he is and he has the fish, I believe that in this moment he realized this is the miracle of grace. You see, the miracle of grace is not when you get your grip on it, it's when it gets its grip on you. Because you will never get a handle on God's grace, but God's grace will always get a hold of you. And whenever you allow the grace of God to consume you, when you allow the grace of God to overtake you, whenever you realize that you don't just have a grip on a miracle, the miracle has the grip on you. Grace has its grip on you. Whenever you begin to understand and you start connecting all the dots and you realize, wow, this isn't about what I thought it was about. This is all about me. This is about God doing something in me. You realize that you are in the miracle of grace. It's where Peter found himself. You see, it's in the miracle of grace that you move from saying, for God so loved the world, to saying, God so loves me. You see, it's in the miracle of grace when it becomes personal that you stop saying that nothing shall separate us from the love of God to nothing shall separate me from the love of God. You see, it was on the water that day that Simon Peter experiences something that he had never experienced before in his life. He had heard the messages of grace before. He had seen Jesus do miracles before, but he had never personally experienced the grip of grace on his own life. He had never personally experienced and understood the grip of grace. And Paul begins to speak about this in Colossians chapter 1, verse 6. It says, this same good news, Paul says in Acts chapter 20, he calls the good news the gospel of grace, the gospel of grace. So let's insert that there. So this same gospel of grace that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. The miracle of grace is overwhelming. When Peter realized what had happened, when we understand and experience the truth about God's wonderful grace, it changes everything. Why? Because grace changes everything, including us. And that's what Paul was writing about. And he said, the gospel of grace is going out all over the world, and it's bearing fruit every place that it goes because it is changing lives. I want you to know there is no hope for your transformation outside of grace. There is no hope for your changing outside of grace. Grace is the only hope you have to spiritual transformation in your life. And it says that it bears fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives. Listen to this. From the day you first heard and understood. Let me tell you, you can hear the message of grace and not experience the miracle of grace. You can hear the message of grace being preached in church. You can hear the message of grace being preached in your home. You can hear the message of grace but never experience the miracle of grace, because when you hear it, it's one thing, but when you understand it, it's another. And whenever he was out there on the water, he had heard the message of grace, but now he is personally experiencing the miracle of grace, and that's where change and transformation takes place. Takes us to the third truth about grace out of the story, and it's the manner of grace. The message of grace takes us to the miracle of grace, and it leads us to the manner of grace. And verse 8 says that he fell to his knees before Jesus, and he said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught. See, I think it dawned on Peter what was happening. I think Peter figured it out somewhere out there that while he was fishing for the fish, Jesus was fishing for him. I think it dawned on him out there that when Peter caught the fish, that Jesus had caught him. I think it dawned on him in this moment that this whole thing was a setup. Jesus didn't just come and get his boat by coincidence. Jesus knew if I got in his boat, then Peter's going to have to come back out here and get his boat. And when he comes back out and get his boat, I'm going to give him an offer that he cannot refuse, because I see his bad attitude over there. I see him cussing and kicking the can. And I'm going to blow his mind in just a moment. I'm going to take him out there and he's going to get more fish than he could ever imagine. I'm going to see God do something. I'm going to watch the Father do something in Peter. And I think that he realized in this moment, man, this whole thing was a setup. He knew what he was doing from the very beginning. When he first stepped in my boat, he knew that this moment was coming. He was never worried about the fish. He was never worried about the catch. He was always just worried about me, and his whole attention wasn't on what was under the water. His attention was what was sitting on the boat. He's been after me the whole time. I think he realized it. You see, Peter had fished these waters one too many times. He was an expert. He knew what time to catch the fish where. He knew where to go. He knew the hot spots. Man, this was his living. He knew what to do. And so he knew that he could not chalk this up to a good day on the lake. He could only chalk this up to a God day on the lake. This wasn't a good day fishing. This was a God day fishing. And Peter understood that it wasn't his fishing expertise that caused this miraculous catch to happen. Instead, it didn't have anything to do with the nets that he was dropping or the boat that he was in. It had everything to do with the man of grace that was sitting in his boat. And we need to know that if Jesus can calm the winds and the rain above the water, don't think for a second that he can't control the fish underneath it. When Jesus got on that boat, headed out there with Peter, Jesus wasn't going out there to catch fish. He was going out there to call the fish. He was on the boat and he was calling the fish to him. And that's why he told him, you've got to get out there in the deep water, because the amount of fish that I'm going to call, they can't fit in the shallow water. You can't catch them where you normally catch the fish. We got to go out there into the deep waters, because I'm calling so many fish to you, it's going to absolutely blow your mind. I'm calling these fish to you. Jesus wasn't trying to chase the fish around. He wasn't trying to catch the fish and where the hot spots were. He said, no, you just get out there in the deep water and I'm going to be in the boat and I'm going to call the fish and I'm going to call them right into your net. And you need to know tonight that God's not trying to chase things down in your life. God's calling things into your life. He's calling grace into your life. He's calling joy into your life. He's calling peace into your life. He's calling it into your nets. This catch was mind-blowing. I mean, this experienced fisherman, you sense the panic as he begins to shout for somebody else to come help him. This is more fish than he knows what to do with. This catch was mind-blowing, just like the grace of God. Grace of God is mind-blowing. Our physical, finite minds, we cannot comprehend the grace of God. We cannot comprehend the infinite, unmeasurable, unlimited. We cannot comprehend those things. That's why whenever you encounter grace, that's why you start to cry, because you don't know what else to do. In just a moment, we're going to see Peter hit his knees in the boat. Why do we do that? Because we don't know what else to do. What else do you do whenever you encounter grace? That's all you know to do, because your physical body and your emotional state can't handle the grace of God. That's where we find Peter. He's experienced the miracle of grace out there, and then we see him moving into the manner of grace. And I believe that what Paul speaks of in Ephesians chapter 2 is what Peter was experiencing out there on the water. This is in the Message translation. It says this: now God has us where he wants us. Come on, tell your neighbor, God has you right where he wants you. God has you where he wants you. With all the time in this world and the next to shower grace and kindness upon us in Christ Jesus. Saving is all his idea and all his work. All we do is trust him enough to let him do it. It's God's gift from start to finish. We don't play the major role. If we did, we'd probably go around bragging that we'd done the whole thing. This is, I believe, what he was feeling out there on the boat. Peter knew he didn't make it happen. He knew his expertise was not the reason for these fish. He knew it was not his long-term experience on the Sea of Galilee that produced this harvest. He knew it only came through the word of God. This only came through the grace of God. It only came because the man of God, the man of grace that was in his boat. And then we find Peter as he gets on his knee before Jesus. And he says, please leave me. Get away from me, because I am a sinful man. Get away from me, because I am a sinful man. I want to point out something to you about this. Jesus never corrected his posture, just his perspective. He didn't correct his posture kneeling down in the boat, but he did correct his perspective, and he told him, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. The Greek translation there is actually stop being fearful. Stop being fearful. Stop being fearful of your inadequacies. Stop being fearful of your insufficiencies. Stop being fearful of your past. Stop being fearful of your shame. Stop being fearful of all your mistakes. Stop being fearful and don't be afraid of me, because grace did not come to put you down. Grace came so that you would bow down, so that when you bowed down, God could lift you up. So that's what James talks about in James chapter 4, verse 10. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Jesus wasn't correcting his posture. He had the right posture. He just had the wrong perspective. And for us, we need to keep the posture, the manner of grace. The manner of grace is always the posture of humility. You know, that's why when the Bible says, come boldly before the throne of grace, you know, it kind of sounds like the oxymoron there. Like, how do you come boldly before the throne of grace? Because whenever you come before the throne of grace, you only have one thing that you can do, and that is to bow down before it. Whenever you encounter grace, the manner of grace is always to bow down. The manner of grace is always humility. The manner of grace is to always humble yourself. You see, that's how you can come boldly, because you come with confidence that he really does want to hear you. You come with confidence that he can really do what you're asking him to do. You come with confidence, but you come with the posture of humility. The perspective is, you want me to be here. The perspective is, you can do it all. The perspective is, you already know what I need before I came in here anyway. The perspective is, you want to bless me. You want me to overcome. You want me to prosper. That is the perspective, but I come humbly. It's the posture. It's the manner of grace. So you come boldly with the right perspective, but you always have to come with the right posture. Peter had the posture down in the boat as he was kneeling before Jesus. And it takes us into the fourth truth in the story, and that is the momentum of grace. Here we see the message of grace, the miracle of grace, the manner of grace, and then the momentum of grace. In verse 10, it says, from now on, you'll be fishing for people. And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. I remember when I read that, and I always was so confused by that, because I was like, did he even know what he was talking about? I mean, did Peter know? Like, when he said, you'll be fishing for people. I mean, you know, we've heard that term before, so we kind of understand it, maybe. But the first time that Peter heard it, I always wonder, like, did he go like, oh, okay, you know? I mean, I'm like, oh, that sounds interesting. You know, it's kind of like when Jesus told Nicodemus, you got to be born again in John chapter 3. Nicodemus said, we got a problem. I'm old. I don't know how that's going to work out. I always wondered, is that what Peter was thinking? We said, you're going to fish for people. And this week I saw something I've never sought. I had a thought that I'd never had before. And I simply had the thought that he knew exactly what Jesus was talking about, because he had just experienced it. He knew exactly what Jesus was talking about because he had just been caught. He knew exactly what Jesus was talking about, because when he was on the boat catching the fish, he felt Jesus catching and capturing him. He knew exactly what he was talking about. And he said, you're going to fish for people. He said, if I can make people feel what I felt out there on the boat, then by all means, I am with you to the very end. I will walk with you. I will be a part of your kingdom. If I can be a part of making people feel what I felt out there on the boat, I will fish for people all the days of my life. He knew exactly what Jesus was talking about. He had just lived it out. Now we see he's not concerned with the same things that he was concerned with before. Why? Because he had experienced the fullness of grace. He had experienced the fullness of grace. He had experienced the miracle of grace. He had experienced the manner of grace. And now it catapulted him into the momentum of grace. And grace changes everything. It's the momentum of grace that causes you to give away what you have received. It's the momentum of grace that causes you to want to give away what you have received. That's why Jesus told his disciples in Matthew chapter 10, he says, freely you have received, now freely give. Freely you have received, now freely give. And in the story, they get back to the shore, and Peter walks away from his boat, his nets, and the biggest catch of fish that he has ever caught in his life. Now, I know one thing about fishermen. They're not walking away from the biggest catch they've ever had. At least you're going to get a picture. You're not walking away from that. And they get up on the shore, and Peter walks away from it all. You see, his response to grace was a gift for someone else. And I don't know what happened on that day. I do know that the crowd was still there. You know the crowd was there. I mean, he had just been teaching the crowd. And after he finishes teaching the crowd, he looks at Peter and he says, let's go on out there in the deep water for a good catch. And the people there, they knew that they heard Peter cussing and kicking the can over there. They knew he'd had a bad night. They knew he didn't catch anything. And they said, let's hang around here just for a little bit. Somebody get out. Let's see if we can catch something on Instagram. Let's get a post right here. Let's see what Jesus is really going to do. You know the crowd was still there. And when the fish came in the net and he starts hollering out, and now the people see two boats filled with fish, and you know there was so much excitement and so much expectation when they get to the shore, and then Peter walks away from it all. I don't know if it was free fish Friday for everybody and everybody just ran over there, hey, all you can eat, you know, I mean, running with fish going home. I don't know what happened. I don't know if Peter looked at those associates that had been working with him and his fishing company and said, guys, you guys take these to the market. You guys get blessed. You guys sell these fish. You guys do whatever you want to. I'm not interested in this. You see, that's how you know that he's had an encounter with grace, because he's not even concerned with the biggest catch that he's ever had. That was money he was walking away from. That was his livelihood that he was walking away from. But after you have encountered grace, you realize that grace is unmeasurable love. There is no measure to it. That just means that you can give grace all day long and it is unmeasurable. You can give compliments and you can give encouragement and you can give love and you can give smiles and you can give it all day long. I don't have to be greedy with that because it is unmeasurable. That's why I realized that it's unmerited favor. I didn't do anything to deserve these fish. I didn't work for these fish. I didn't pay for these fish. It's unmerited favor. And if it was unmerited favor today, guess what? It'll be tomorrow. Unmerited favor. If there was a big catch today, there'll be a big catch tomorrow. And then he realized, this is unlimited power. I was with the man that was in the boat, and he called the fish to himself. And that shouldn't even happen. That goes against logic. That goes against my experience. That goes against everything that I've ever known. And so if that kind of power is in him, why am I going to sit around here and gripe and complain about walking away from these fish? Because the same power that brought these fish will be the same power that brings provision to me the next day. It'll be the same power that brings me whatever I need the next week. It'll be the same power that brings me everything I need for the rest of my life. And so he turned what he had caught into a gift for somebody else. I believe it's what Paul was speaking about in 2 Corinthians as we close. He writes to the Corinthian church, and this is what he says in chapter 8, verse 7. But since you excel in everything, wow, what a compliment. You excel in everything. You excel in your faith. You excel in your speech. You excel in your knowledge of the scriptures and of the things of the Spirit. You excel in complete earnestness and in the love we have kindled in you. See that you also excel in this grace of giving. See also that you excel. Don't just be satisfied with excelling in faith. Don't just be satisfied with excelling in your knowledge of the scriptures. Don't be satisfied with just excelling in your love for others. Don't just be satisfied. Also excel in the grace of giving. What is the grace of giving? It is in our definition for the word grace. It's the unmeasurable love, the unmerited favor. It's the unlimited power of God that enables us to live life God's way. The grace of giving is living life God's way, because we will never be more like God than when we give. For God so loved the world that he gave. When God found you, he gave you salvation. He gave you his righteousness. He gave you he gave you joy. He gave you peace. He gave you healing. When God found you, he gave and he gave and he gave. And that's why we will never be like God more than when we give. And so he says, make sure that you excel in this grace of giving, because the grace of giving is going to put you in the place where you're living life God's way, because God is always looking for the next opportunity to give something away to you. He's looking for the next opportunity to give. And so I want you to excel in this grace of giving. See, you cannot separate grace and generosity. You can't separate grace and generosity. It's impossible. Because we have received freely, it's time for us to give. It's time for us to give. It's time for us to give of our time. It's time for us to give of our time. Maybe you need to give your time and come and serve on one of our serve teams. It means you got to get to church a little bit early. You're sacrificing your time, but you're doing it for the kingdom of God. Maybe you want to go to the Hub or the Shreveport-Bossier Rescue Mission and help serve some meals and help meet some needs. Maybe you want to get involved in some other groups around here that are doing things like that and say, I'm ready to give my time so that I can share the love of God, so that I can share the grace of God. I am ready to give. I have freely received so much grace. Now it's time for me to give my time. Maybe it's time for you to give your talent. Give your talent. We've got a young lady here that is a professional photographer, and every Sunday morning she's here taking pictures, and she makes hundreds of dollars for doing this, and she does it here for free. Why? Because she says, this is my gift. This is what I do, and I want to make sure that the church has the very best pictures they can have. I want to make sure that whenever they want to post something on social media or on their website or in a printed material, that they have a great selection of pictures to choose from. So she comes, and what does she give? She gives her talent away because she's worked really hard at that talent, and she says, I've got a talent that can be a blessing to the kingdom. It can be a blessing to the church. And so she said, I freely receive in grace, and so what am I going to do? I'm going to freely give my talent back to God. Some of you have talents. Some of you have talents. You have gifts. It's time for you to freely give those back to God to build his kingdom. And then we don't just give of our time and our talent, but we also give of our treasure. We give of our resources. Because we go to work and we work hard for our money and we get money, and then we have an opportunity like this to give. We have an opportunity to give to an organization like Mission SOS, who is taking the gospel to places that have never heard the gospel, that are taking the gospel on the streets. They'll be on the streets of Zimbabwe, on the streets of Uganda. People who have never heard the gospel before, and they're going to hear the gospel. People who are sick, who are lame, people who are dealing with all types of ailments, and they're going to take the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ there. And you know what? We get to be a part of that. Why? Because we're in the momentum of grace. We're in the momentum of grace because we've heard the message of grace. We've experienced the miracle of grace. We have bowed down before Jesus in the manner of grace. And now we've got the momentum of grace. And because we have the momentum of grace, we said, we have freely received so much. Now it's time for me to freely give. And as we give today, you're not just giving $5. You're not giving $50. You're not giving $100. What are you actually giving? You're actually giving the message of grace. What are you really giving? You're really giving somebody to have the experience of the miracle of grace all the way around the world. You're not just giving $100. No, no, no. What you're giving is you're giving for somebody to take the manner of grace after they hear the message and they receive the miracle and they bow down and they say, you are my Lord. You are my Savior. They get in the posture and the manner of grace. And then what happens to them is then they get in the momentum of grace. And so they go back into their neighborhoods and they go back into their cities and they go back into their villages. And whenever they get there, they say, I have freely received something. And so now it's time for me to freely give. And they give the message of grace and they give the miracle of grace and they give the manner of grace, and the momentum of grace keeps on going and going and going, and that's how the kingdom of God expands all around the world. But it starts when people understand the grace of giving. It's the grace of giving. Just a moment, we're going to have the opportunity to give of our treasure. We're giving more of our more than our treasure. We're giving grace. We're giving the grace of God to Zimbabwe. We're giving the grace of God to Uganda. I want North Point Community Church to have a part of what Mission SOS is doing around the world. I want you to have the opportunity to have a part, to understand what Paul was talking about and saying, I want to excel in the grace of giving. I want to give my time, I want to give my talent, and I want to give my treasure so that the message of grace can go forward. That's what we all want, amen? We believe that God can do it. Come on, will you stand with me?
Thanks for listening today. We hope you were encouraged by the Word of God. If you'd like more information on North Point Community Church, you can find us online at www.northpoint.ccpeople.com.